Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's Eternal Light dramatization by Irv Tunick, The Things I Saw, is based on the first-hand report of Chester Bowles, International Chairman of the United Nations Appeal for Children. Featured as Mr. Bowles is John McGovern, and Natalie Corr as Mrs. Bowles.
Pleasant, is it? This is the cry of a hungry child.
Endless now, the wheat is barely awake. Its stubby little fingers still rub the sleepiness of winter from its eyes. And in Minnesota, the dairy herds are out in pasture, udders thick and bulging. In Texas, white-faced steers are plodding northward to grow fat on Iowa corn. This is food being fashioned, calories in the making. These are fats, proteins, and carbohydrates soon to stain your baby's bib.
Edward Harker to William Brooks, Director of News and Special Events, National Broadcasting Company, New York City. This morning I recorded the voice of Pessel Fackler, a sick little Jewish child I found in a displaced person's camp near Berlin. Pessel is 4 years old. She weighs 27 pounds. Doctors tell me she has the physical development of a child of two. Pessel's family fled from Poland before the Nazi invasion in 1939. They went into Russia, there into Siberia. Her father died in Siberia, and at war's end, she and her mother drifted westward to the displaced persons camp, where the International Refugee Organization is giving what it can to help. Pessel's undersized body has withstood pneumonia, whooping cough, measles, and heart disease. She is still seriously tubercular, lacking the resistance that comes from good food. Her cry was not staged. She was hungry, so she cried.
Asked me, I said yes. It was something I wanted to do, something that needed doing. So I said yes. I have 5 children of my own, but even if I had none, my answer still would have been yes. I remember the first time I heard the idea. I was working privately with Aki Ording, Norwegian delegate to the United Nations. It was late, and we were tired. And Mrs. Bowles brought in some coffee and sandwiches.
Seventh inning stretch. Come on now, put those papers away and relax. Mr. Ording, you sit here. Chester, here.
Thank you. This looks delicious.
Hope it is.
In Norway, this is called matbete.
Matbete?
Snack. The most welcome word in our language.
Well, tell Mrs. Bowles about your idea, Mr. Ording.
Oh, an idea is like a little boy. You never know if it's going to grow up good or bad.
This is a good one, I think.
Let me hear.
Our day, in a committee meeting of the United Nations on the food problem, I thought of this. It was because so much time was being spent in debate, in hair-splitting, in winding and unwinding red tape. Hours, days, weeks, months slipping by. Hungry children waiting to be fed. Waiting for diplomats and statesmen and international representatives to agree on something everyone was already agreed upon. That the hungry children of the world must be fed.
230 million children.
And then I remembered. In southern Norway, after the war, the people who had suffered less than those in the north, those people did this. They volunteered one day's pay, work, or produce to help their fellow countrymen get on their feet. A simple idea, isn't it?
A very wonderful idea.
Well, now, suppose we should take this plan and extend it over the world. Ask every person to give one day's pay, work, or produce to feed the hungry children of the world. Would it work?
On a voluntary basis?
Completely.
What about the people who can't afford to give?
Oh, everyone can afford to give. If not money, then time. Something. Anything. It must not be another charity. Another case of someone giving and someone getting. This must be done in the spirit of mutual self-help. A case of all men sharing the burden of a child's hunger.
It will work.
You think so?
I know it. The conscience of mankind will make it work.
So as I said, when the plan was finally agreed upon by the United Nations, and when the name United Nations Appeal for Children was given it, when Secretary General Trygve Lie asked me to become international chairman, I said yes. On January 2nd, 1948, Mrs. Bowles and myself left for a swift survey trip through the nations of Europe. What follows is my report. It's 2:00 Sunday morning, French time. We're approaching Paris. In the last 20 hours, this plane has been a world by itself. A little world in which we can do nothing but sit and read and think. We've been studying reports on the needs of children in every corner of the earth. These needs are so staggering that we find it difficult to take them in. The best estimates we have, cold, impersonal reports, state that one child in every two alive today is starving. A huge percentage of them will never grow up. We approach our task in Europe with humility. We are now in France, the industrial town of Colombes.
Bonjour, Pierre. Peut-on entrer?
Mais oui, entrez, entrez.
Pierre, je vous présente Monsieur et Madame Bowles, qui viennent d'Amérique.
Ah, Mr. Bowles, Mrs. Bowles. I speak good English, isn't it?
I hope we're not intruding.
But no. Madame will excuse, I cannot stand. Both legs, poof. Land mine.
Oh.
Maybe I get, how do you call it, des jambes artificielles.
Artificial legs.
Artificial legs, but how you get them? Must stand on line at the bureau. No legs. Cannot stand.
Et les enfants? Where are the children, Pierre?
Where you think? In school.
Oh.
One thing I make sure, legs or no legs, the kids go to school. You hear that soon they finish new school? With desks, maybe.
How many children do you have?
Three.
All in school?
Oh, oui.
Your wife?
Catherine works in, how do you call that? Une raffinerie de pétrole.
Oil refinery.
Ah, oui, oui, oil refinery. She makes 2,000 francs each week.
About $10.
We live. Sometimes kids fall asleep doing lessons. Energy. Ils n'ont jamais assez à manger. Ils ne peuvent pas fixer leur attention sur leurs devoirs. Ils essaient, mais comment peut-on s'occuper de livres lorsqu'on a le ventre creux?
They never get enough to eat, so they cannot concentrate. They try hard, but how can one think of books with an empty stomach?
What is that? Stomach?
Belly.
Ah, that word I know. Belly. All kids in Europe have same trouble. Belly trouble. Nothing inside all the time. Nothing but hungry. A teacher says French Revolution fought for liberty, equality, fraternity. The kids think, tonight maybe we have bread. Maybe even piece of horse meat. Studies are too hard for hungry kids. We must feed the kids.
That's why we're here. We want to see the truth so that we can make the necessary plans to feed the children.
Good. That's good. But plans. Why plans? Kids need food. Give them food. Why does one need plans? One needs bread. Listen, we old ones had plans, no? Every country its own plan. Lots of plans, each different. Nobody has same plan, so we fight the war. Listen, I tell you best plan. Get food, put it on plate, call in the kids. Forget the old ones like me. But where is the world without kids, Si nous mourons de faim, nous le méritons. C'est de notre faute. Mais les enfants sont innocents.
Pierre says if we starve, we deserve to starve. We earn starvation. But the children are innocent.
Feed the kids, Monsieur Bowles. We can starve. But feed the kids.
Italy lies ahead. Another night and we'll be in Rome. Cormorancio. A collection of shacks on the outskirts of Rome.
When it rains, and it rains plenty in this little valley, these people are forced to leave their shacks and run for the hills.
Why do they stay here?
Two reasons. One, because they have nowhere else to go. The second is up there, top of the hill.
A house being built?
Mm-hmm. An apartment house, subsidized by the government. Take a look at that, huh? In this day and age, it's being built by hand. Not a bulldozer, not a modern tool near the place. But it's going up. Now, these people are waiting to move in.
When?
It's slow, building that way. But they wait. They watch it go up brick by brick.
How much were the apartments rent for?
About 400 lire a month.
Oh, a little under a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Just about what a pack of cigarettes sell for on the black market. Now, over here...
Benny! Please, Benny! Benny!
Federico! Vieni! Via! Finisci di mendicare! Non devi chiedere i soldi!
Facciale mia, scusa, per il mio bambino.
She says she's sorry her kids beg pennies.
Ask her how many children she has.
Quanti bambini ha, signora?
Three.
Three.
Do the children get enough to eat?
I vostri bimbi ricevono abbastanza da mangiare?
Mai. Non hanno mangiato nulla oggi. Eppure una cosa per tutta la giornata.
They haven't eaten all day, another thing.
Non hanno visto latte da 3 anni.
They haven't seen milk in 3 years.
But how do they live?
Well, we get a little help. The United Nations Children's Fund supplies about 300 calories of food a day, and the government matches it.
600 calories? Why, an average kid in America gets 3,500 calories a day.
Sometimes they get a little more than 600. Scrounge around the streets of Rome, begging pennies, wiping stuff off the food stamps.
Ask her if she thinks things will be better when they move into the new house.
Saresti più felice nella nuova casa?
Non posso trasferirmi nella nuova casa. La pensione sarà 400 lire al mese e la mia pensione di vedova è solo 600.
She says she's not going into the new house. The rent will be 400 lire and her widow's pension is only 300 lire.
Then why does she stay here?
Perché vivete qua?
I bimbi non sanno che non possiamo permetterci la nuova casa. Credono che ci trasferiremo con tutti gli altri. Non posso dire che ciò non è vero. Quindi non possono vivere senza una speranza. Sperano di vivere nella casa. Non posso distruggere i loro sogni.
The children don't know she cannot afford the new house. They think they will move in with all the others. She cannot tell them the truth. She says that children cannot live without something to hope for. The kids want to live in the new house. She says she cannot take away their dreams.
In Italy, we also met Vittorio Corrado. Vittorio was 10. He was playing the piano when we came into the room.
Hai delle visite oggi. Il signore e la signora Ball vengono dall'America.
Sono felice di fare la vostra conoscenza.
He says he's glad to meet you.
Tell him I think he plays the piano magnificently.
La signora Ball ama il tuo modo di suonare il pianoforte.
Grazie. Vi prego di spiegarle che la ragione perché sto ancora seduto qua è perché non posso vedere. Sono cieco.
He says to explain to you that the reason he's still sitting at the piano... It's because he's blind.
Blind?
I tedeschi mi hanno sparato una pallottola nella testa ed i dottori dicono che ha tagliato il nervo ottico, facendomi cieco per sempre.
The Germans shot him in the head. The doctor said it cut his optic nerve and made him blind forever.
On the train traveling from Rome, I was handed 2 papers. One was an account of life in Vienna in a children's clinic in that occupied city. Portions of that letter live with me even now, day and night.
Hunger is numbing. You are sitting at your desk with a little patient, and suddenly you find you cannot keep your attention on what the child's mother is saying. Or you're standing up, and suddenly you have to sit down. And being hungry, you do things you never thought you would do. You send your children out to trade on the black market. You learn, too, not to ask questions when they bring food home. You eat it, and while you're doing so, you hope no one will come in with whom it ought to be shared. It is each for himself and his own. Death takes whole families, or parts of families, leaving only orphans. The younger ones are cared for in institutions. The older ones look after themselves. And juvenile delinquency, in their case, is just a way of saying boys and girls are hungry. They take as they can. They oppose with violence anyone who tries to stop them. Young as they are, they come to terms easily, as hungry people everywhere come to terms. Even their own mothers must sometimes come to terms. You call that bad? Listen. Who is to say who is good and who is bad in times like these?
We went our way through Europe, Prague, Budapest, carefully compiling our statistics. When you look at big figures, figures like these, and try to evaluate them objectively, the task is terribly hard. You find that 230 million infants and children are hungry in the world today. But that's not what you think. You think of a baby with swollen belly and no flesh at all. You don't think of the sum, but of the fraction of each 230 millionth of the total. Each of your precious statistics is a kid starving. We'd seen many pictures of the ruins of Warsaw, but we were completely unprepared for the shock of seeing it all for ourselves. 600,000 people exist in this desert of bricks and mortar. That they do live and keep their children alive is perhaps the strongest testimonial we've seen so far to human courage. In Warsaw, we visited a health center, a building much better than usual. It had a roof.
This is the playroom. We've managed to find crayons and even a little paper for the children to draw on. While I doubt if we have any budding Rembrandts, I think some of the work is very good. The best examples are on the wall.
Doctor?
Yes, Mrs. Bowles?
Almost all of the pictures are of war scenes. Guns, tanks, planes.
Yes, they all have lived with the horror of war and are obsessed by it.
Why don't you try to have them paint happier scenes?
We do try, but it must be done gradually. You can't force a thing like that, because then you would only be suppressing memories. Memories that would emerge again after the child has grown up. That would be the surest way to encourage war again. It's better to have guns discharged on paper rather than on people. In time, they'll draw their things. Wheat fields, maybe, or even cows. We plan to have an X-ray machine in there, a pharmacy in this room.
Are you getting medical supplies?
A little. We need so much more. In Poland, it is said in all of Poland, more than 1 million people have tuberculosis. The death rate of babies is unbelievable. 206 out of every 1,000.
Why is that woman crying, doctor?
I don't know. Co się stało? Czy mogę pani pomóc?
Zabrali dziecko.
She says someone took her baby. Dlaczego zabrali?
Bo chore.
The baby is sick. Co mu jest?
Powiada, że gruźlica.
Tuberculosis. If the child was taken from her, it must be a hopeless case. We keep him here to prevent further spread of the germ.
How old was the child?
Ile ma dziecko lat?
Nie wiem.
She doesn't know.
To nie moje dziecko.
Oh, it wasn't her child.
Płakało. Znalazła mnie po bitwie.
She found him crying after the battle.
Może ma 3 albo 4 lata.
Maybe he's 3 or 4.
Teraz gubiłam go.
Now she lost
him.
She found him, and now she has lost him. She found a baby. It's her baby. She wants him back. She wants her baby back.
We left Europe, Mrs. Bowles and I, impressed with many things. Uppermost is the incredible stupidity of wars. Yet we know people who talk glibly of a third world war. One thing at least we know. The people of all these countries who've known war intimately long desperately for peace for themselves and their children. Not only desperately, but with determination. They mean to have it. They're going to have their peace. If the world of tomorrow is two worlds, it will be because half of that world, half of the children of today, will have grown up hungry, embittered, and desperate. We heard this voice as we traveled. It was with us. Even now, it's with us. Children hungry, in rags, scratching in the rubble piles for rotten potatoes. Children alone. Our children. The world's children. Now I can say, as Job said, out of my flesh, I saw these things.
Today's Eternal Light dramatization by Irv Tunick, The Things I Saw, was based on the first-hand report of Chester Bowles, International Chairman of the United Nations Appeal for Children. The United Nations Appeal for Children is conducted in the United States under the title Crusade for Children, conducted by American Overseas Aid. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Caton. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. John McGovern was featured as Mr. Bowles, and Natalie Corr was Mrs. Bowles. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Pack. We would like to express our appreciation to the Ohio State Institute for Education by Radio for awarding the Eternal Light first place in religious broadcasting for the third consecutive year. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.